Lowe's knows how to help you save this 4th of July. Upgrade your laundry routine with the new and exclusive first-of-its-kind all-in-one vented laundry combo. Wash and dry in just 68 minutes. Save up to 40% on select major appliances. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Shop Samsung this July 4th at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Welcome back to Hanging.
Welcome back. How about welcome to Hanging by a Thread?
Been here before?
Well, no one's coming back. Every episode.
You think you're not coming back to listen?
I'm so excited.
They're coming to listen to this one because
guests,
we have a
yes.
special guest today on Hanging by a Thread with Seth and Meredith Marks, a dear friend, a very talented designer, and most importantly, a phenomenal, kind human being.
Philanthropist, entrepreneur, drop-dead gorgeous.
I'll take all of those.
Yes. All of the above. August Getty, welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
We want to hear what you have going on today, how everything is going, because, you know, you started in fashion. Bring us on your journey a little bit with that.
Okay, so I started a fashion label when I was 16, 17, and then my first collection was when I turned 18. And so that was really the biggest chunk of my life, like growing wise. And 1 year ago, I left the business, the entire industry. And now I'm just here working on myself.
So What was your inspiration to go into fashion to begin with?
I mean, my mom will always say it was in my DNA. We're not quite sure how, because all the ladies in my family are quite tomboys. But I had an affinity for glamour, and you know, I started with napkins and silverware at restaurants. I would make dresses for the flatware, and then I graduated to dust bags and Barbie dolls. Every time I'd take a bath, I would make dresses with hair ties for my Barbies.
It's a passion.
Yeah.
So it was within.
Always. Yeah. Always.
Wait, you said something. I'm the double clicker. Meredith asked the first question, first click, and then I'm trying to find a question from your answer.
Sure.
You were bawling out in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
People wanted to have August Getty on their body, my wife included.
100%.
And it was like you balled out so hard, so fast, got to the top of the mountain. Like, this is the double click. You weren't fulfilled. You achieved success at a young age, and then you said, I want to work on myself. I got to double click into that, because there's a lot of people that think success is just getting to the top in your industry. What is success to you that you said, I need time to work on myself? And what, take us through that whole thing.
Well, you know, my dream kept me alive, and it kept me going through my entire childhood. And I have to be grateful and extremely thankful and blessed that I had that. But they don't tell you that once you make it to where you want to be, that sometimes your dream isn't what you thought it was. And I was wrecked and heartbroken at the industry, how I was treated, how I treated myself. I'm still working through it. You know, it's still kind of hard for me to see my old work, just because I knew the person who made that wasn't happy. And, you know, that was 10 years of my life that I just wasn't happy.
Well, your sadness created some absolutely stunning collections.
It's quite depressing.
I'm sorry to say.
No, I always tell everybody, I'm like, as soon as I got happy, my work started to suck. And I was like, where do I go from here?
It's like the greatest artists, right?
Right.
The greatest artists are like
but
that.
My,
that's crazy.
I have a really good mom, and I missed out on a lot. And so she was so worried about me and my mental health a lot of the time, and rightfully so. But now I'm able to mend those relationships, and I'm able to spend time with my mom.
Amazing.
Time that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't left.
Amazing.
Which is really nice. I know just from knowing you that you're very close with your mother, and it seems like you have a very strong relationship, which is, you know, incredible. I'm very close to my mother, too. I think it's a very important relationship.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, we weren't used to it. So when there would be, like, a carpet for me that I have to walk, I'd have to leave my mom behind, and neither one of us really understood why. And different experiences like that put strains on our relationship, and it was the stuff behind the scenes that we really appreciated the most. And those times just got fewer and fewer and fewer. And I mean, I would trade it all for that young lady.
Yeah. Well, it's incredible. I mean, that is, and I said to Seth, like, we're spending the next few months in Miami because I want to be closer to my mother, you know?
Yeah.
She's getting older, and, you know.
There's nothing like it.
No. You
know? Very important. Very
important. I want to redirect this a little bit.
You don't want to talk about
my
mother.
We talk about mom.
I love talking about our mom.
I know, it's so...
My mom... This is a podcast about relationships. That is a very important relationship.
I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm getting... I don't want to go to this level of...
it's too, like, emotional.
Oh, it's so good to cry.
Yeah, I know. My mom, everything good about me is from my mom. I mean, my dad has a few good things, but my mom is like... everything, like, she's,
yeah,
my entire core values are built around the things my mom built.
No, your mom has some good values, I will say that.
My dad would just shake it off. You don't feel anything. Like, mom, dad telling you to shake it off. Like, it's like, but moms help you feel.
Yeah, and I mean, for the longest time, it was really just me and my mom and my brother. And it was a trio, three musketeers, you know.
I don't know how vulnerable and how open you are, because you went during that madness where you're building your brand and climbing to the top of an industry. I know you don't drink.
I know, I'm about to be 2 years sober.
Congratulations.
Amazing. But I got to know you when you were.
Yeah, this is very true.
We had a Halloween.
That was your last drink. That was
my last 2 months, my last hurrah.
Which you went out on top, because that night was...
It was incredible. I mean, we had so much fun.
It was wild.
But, I mean, I was doing that every night.
Wow.
And so I knew that there was...
Drinking seven nights
like
a week.
That. And I knew that there was a destination for me, and it was either going to be sobriety or death.
Oof.
And... I hit the pavement running towards it as fast as I could.
To sobriety.
No, to the destination, no matter what it was. And then I had a wake-up call, a very traumatic night, and I saw an out, and I took it, and I got the fuck out.
That's amazing. So what is the advice? Because this show is all about sharing the journey, and then how can we help others from our journeys? And for those that have... that are in a situation where they know they need to stop doing this substance.
I would say be patient with yourself once you've made the leap. Because for me, jumping out of that lazy river was the easiest choice that I'd ever have to do, that I'd ever have to make. Because the choice was easy. I wanted to live. But everything that followed after that, everything that followed suit, that's where the work is. That's where it's difficult. In these past 2 years, finding the friendships that work for me, letting my friends know which relationships don't work with me, for me, letting my family know my new boundaries with them, letting myself know my own new boundaries. This is the work now. This is game time. Me getting sober was the easiest part.
Wow.
So...
That is powerful.
Your sobriety very clearly has affected all of your relationships, right?
Yeah.
What about dating? How has it affected the dating world?
You know, this is the first sit down that I've ever had where I've talked about dating, because I mean, I've never really had it in like the 10 years that I was working or the 10 years that I was using, because my work became my partner. And I mean, when you're sober, trying to date again, it's scary.
Wow.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because A, you're figuring out yourself. I'm too busy trying to figure out my own hands on my own body, let alone my hands on your body. And then also figuring out what's a defense mechanism and what I genuinely don't like. You know what I mean?
Do you want a sober partner or does it matter?
It doesn't matter for me. I mean, boundaries are boundaries. Like, you can't be doing what I was doing. But one of us should be having a glass of wine, and it's not going to be me.
You're the best partner ever.
A glass, not 25.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Let's not try to outdo one another over here, you know?
Right. Well, and that's interesting because it sounds like, and before we even got into the sobriety, I was thinking about how, you know, leaving the fashion world and not being so immersed in something that is so all-encompassing of your time and your energy and your thoughts and how that would impact dating. But that was really coupled at the same exact time, yeah, pretty much, with your sobriety.
Completely. And I mean, I didn't really have an identity because my identity was my work. So when we first met each other, I had, what, a blonde wig, a pink wig, and a pink suit, gratefully lent to me by Meredith Marks. And wearing heels and so much makeup and me trying to figure out myself because I didn't know who I was. I tried on every hat that I metaphorically could try on just to see what would stick. Little did I know the one that would stick was me actually finding myself once I got sober. But also, me finding a match became quite hard and confusing for me because everybody seemed happily in relationships and, you know, very kismet. Like, oh, we met each other at the grocery store. We met each other at, you know, the bar. But I was going, you know, from the gym in my hotel room to the Atelier in Paris to Barcelona for a meeting, flying back, and then partying in a house until the sun came up. I had no actual life or way to meet anybody. And we were all just kind of circulating the same people.
And sounds like just running and on the go. And that is almost impossible for relationships unless you're fortunate enough to have someone who runs with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, August, what do you, I do? Because you just described Meredith's current life. And I'm like,
I'm not partying all night until the sun comes up. That's the only difference.
Exactly. Exactly.
She gets home at 2. I'm like, when's she coming home?
Well, that's not true. Sometimes it's true.
Well, you never got to get it out of your system.
Sometimes
August
it's true.
Got it out.
Sometimes it's you,
but I think that a huge part of it was that I wasn't able to get it out of my system earlier on in life because I became an adult so quickly. So then once, you know, I'd moved out of my mom's house at 16, and then once I saw, like, my brother had settled down, I was like, okay, it's time. Let it out. Let it out, honey.
And you had a run like that, rock star run like that, for...
Which I do not
16
promote.
Years? 12 years?
It was really like an 11-year, 10-year.
Amazing.
I've had a few great relationships, but I don't really pick the best guys.
But you have the awareness to make that comment, so you know what are you working on to select, have more discipline in not allowing somebody you know might have create a lot of pain for you.
Well, I only figure it out once I'm in a relationship with them.
Oh.
Which is so not very progressive.
Yeah, I think you have to figure out the criteria first.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Step one. Do you ever go on dating apps or no?
No.
It's not your
fault. No. I think I had Raya for a little bit. I've never been a Grindr kind of guy. It's just not for me.
What about Adam? The guy that has the dating app you don't see an image, it just tells you about the person.
Well, the thing about a dating app and me is that I find it very easy to text and type and talk to somebody, but I'm quite shy once I'm in front of you. And so if you don't meet that August 1st, you're kind of getting a catfish already of some like confident, witty, sarcastic little tyke, you know?
Okay, I think you're confident, witty, and sarcastic in person, too.
Okay? Yeah, but we're buddies, you know?
I mean, I don't think it's a catfish. And, I mean, I think they'd be happy with it either way.
What? So do you have a type?
I don't think so. Older makes me laugh. Somebody I can be a kid with. I feel like we're on like a matchmaker show right now. You guys are trying to find me a match.
Oh, we might. Yeah, never yes, know.
We are never know. Because of the lifestyle that she lives, we're around so many amazing, so many different people all the time. And I asked my son, Brooks, what's your type? And it was like he couldn't really articulate it, which says he's single and trying to find him. And so it was trying to understand your type to see if maybe you'd describe Brooks.
I love Brooks.
Oh my gosh. I already threw that out the last time we went to dinner.
There's a picture of you guys from Glad when you were on the platform shoes.
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest pictures of all time.
Wearing like a white ball gown.
Yes. Gosh. Mayor, we got to post that picture. Do we have your permission to post that?
Sure.
For this podcast.
It. Oh, yeah. Yes.
We'll use that.
I'm sure Brooks would be so thrilled too that we're saying all this about him.
Well, we're trying to see if there's a match with August and Brooks.
I was actually wearing his socks earlier today to the gym.
Oh, see, there we go.
Me a pair of his socks.
Match made in heaven.
Because we went to Remedy on Sunset and we took an ice bath together.
Oh nice. That's right.
What about that?
Yeah, it was
that's
really
right. That's right. Right. Oh my gosh. So you could be a mentor for him.
I've never have done the ice bath thing. That sounds insane.
I don't think I'd be a very good mentor. I think we both had like headphones on or something and just like in our own world.
You know where your disciple, our baby that worked for you, Chloe.
Yeah.
Chloe worked at August Getty.
Yeah.
You know one of her great
No.
She just got a marketing internship at Fendi.
Wow.
CRM.
Good for her.
Fendi.
So I'm supportive.
She
good for
got the August. She had her first
merch.
Her first real experience was working at August Getty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she came out to LA and like I can't believe we didn't talk about this earlier. And she was so fired up and excited, and you had the energy in your office, and we were fortunate to visit one day. Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
It was a really sweet time because, you know, my my company, it's a family owned, and it was pretty small, and everybody felt like a family already. And then Chloe came in, and just every day was a blessing, really.
That's amazing. Yeah,
that was like such an incredible experience for her. So we are forever grateful for that one.
Please.
That was mine. Amazing. And probably got her where she is now.
It did. No,
that I can't take that credit.
It's all you.
I mean, I'll take it.
Sure, plays its part of it. It's part of it.
Right.
Ask a hard question.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. A hard question.
As if me dating Brooks isn't like a harder enough question.
Seriously, I mean, can we put you a little more on the spot?
I'm channeling my Hindi.
Am I sweating?
I'm channeling my Indian.
Can we put color correction on this later?
Could we? Well, we're giving you permission. You don't even have to ask for Brooks.
Hand in marriage?
Stop. Oh, wow. That's a bit much.
I'd love to just hang out with Brooks in August.
So, you know, what would be your dating advice to your younger self?
Okay.
Oh, it's a trap.
The dating is a trap or the question is a trap or both?
The dating, of course. He just he doesn't find out till later each time, so it's clearly a trap.
What would I say to my younger self? Be yourself, honestly. Be yourself. And don't be the image of the guy that you think that he wants to be with, because eventually you're going to show your ass. One way or another. Oh, I just misspoke.
Why?
That's like, because that's, it hits close to home, you know. I tried to be the picture of another person for so long, and it's just not conducive to anything. You just got to be yourself.
That's it. That's sometimes being yourself is the most courageous thing you can do.
But isn't it quite ironic that you don't really figure that out until you're like 30, that that being yourself is actually the best thing you can do, and not being like other people is actually a good thing?
No, it's very positive. I mean, who wants to be like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
And the reality of it is you can't have a genuine relationship, whatever it is, friendship, romantic, whatever it may be, with somebody if you're not true to who you are, because they don't know who they're dealing with then.
No.
What's amazing about that, because I'm in corporate America, is how some companies don't necessarily allow that culture to be yourself. And the power of this message, like, there should be some training in every business in the United States, in the world, but let's start here. Maybe I can do this work with you, like going into these businesses to create a culture where people can be themselves, because some people think they can only be themselves working for themselves. And there's this massive old school culture that still holds people back, that are really great lawyers, finance people, marketers, but they're trapped in these companies that are so culturally antiquated.
Sure.
How do we get through that?
I mean, preaching to the choir about it. I mean, like, the LGBT community, so many of us aren't able to be who we actually are until we move out of the house or until we graduate from schools, where we feel like finally a little sense of freedom. And then that's why, like, a lot of the dating doesn't work, because you don't really know who you are yet. And so you try to figure it out, and you're already in your 20s or your 30s. And how do we combat that? I mean, just fill the world with kindness. Stop talking and start listening.
There are some great core values. I'm going to listen to this and write some August quotes, because they're like
notes to younger self.
Yes. Yes. Which is just projecting to my current self or my kids.
So what advice would you give someone who's, you know, struggling to express where they stand in the community, whether it's we've been very vocal in our feelings that no one really should ever have to come out, so to speak,
sure,
but you should live your true life and enjoy your life and, you know, find happiness. And if coming out is what you want, great, no problem, you know, nothing wrong with it. But, like, everyone should be able to just be who they are in their own skin and be happy. And for someone who's having a hard time finding that place, what would your guidance be?
I would say what I said earlier, and that there's no shame in trying on every metaphorical hat that you can until one fits right. And then eventually, at the end of your life, you'll look in your closet and you'll see all of these hats, all these memories of who you were, and it'll be a blessing, you know? I've gone through so many stages of my queerness, if you will, just to see what fits right and what hits home. And finally, I'm at a place where I love myself and I'm happy with myself. You know, I don't get anxiety being myself right now.
And that's amazing, because how I'm processing that, and how what the lesson learned here is, once you love yourself to where you have worked really hard to get to, it's incredibly inspiring. You even gave your career up to get back to balance and to take care of yourself. But now you're going to find, you've been on this train long before me, the laws of attraction. That's kind of new to me. But when you're at that version of yourself, just imagine the partner you're going to attract now. You're going to find that one. And I know our son, Brooks, I'm going to give you.
I knew where he was going.
And you didn't think I wasn't going to come back to that, because this is the type of guy I would love for our son to be with, right? Like
the title of the episode, okay, just
honey,
Brooks.
The type of guy. It's just the type of guy.
Honey, that's up to them. They okay. know each other. If that's meant to be, they figure it out. It's not up to us. Leave that alone.
I know, but I do think you're going to have some amazing options now with this energy projecting.
Thank you.
That you, yeah.
Like Brooks. No, I'm kidding.
But it's incredible because when we had our issues, and I'm just relating it back to us, like we were in a dark place, and so the energy we had towards each other, we couldn't. Our relationship was stuck and degenerative, and then when we put in all the work we needed to put in and started working on our individual therapy, intensive, a lot of it, and then couples therapy, and then as we got to that where you're at, like where you could love yourself, and then if you don't put in that work, I guess that's the other lesson. You are a living example of someone who kicked your own ass. Mm-hmm. But did you get some help also in therapy? Because I'm a huge supporter of getting help.
I tried everything, you know, just to see what would stick. I've done different kinds of therapies, DBT therapy. I've done meditation. I've done physical therapies. I work out. I work my ass off at the gym. That, for me, is number one. You have to reach out. And there's no shame in that. I've also, though, something for me that I kind of live by is I live by the power of no, and it really has become a superpower. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do what I don't want to do. I'm not going to go to that event. I'm not going to walk that carpet if I don't have to. I'm not going to take a picture with you. I'm not going to post that. I'm not going to say I believe in that because I don't. I'm not going to do anything that fights my core value of being me ever again.
I always like to say no is a complete sentence.
Absolutely.
You don't have to give justification or excuses.
No.
It's your choice. They're your boundaries.
It's no and then disengaging.
Well, in that setting, I have to say no like 20 times and they still ignore me. Then right. I have to disengage.
It's no.
And they still chase lock. Me down.
Exactly.
Wow. It's powerful. Like, listen, August, so you're so principally driven with core values that you now march to. And
well, I'm the kind of guy where it's like, you don't have to tell me twice, and I don't have to tell you something twice, and I'd really rather not. If I'm telling you I'm gonna be somebody, or I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna follow this way, I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna do it the first time now.
I love that. I think it's very, you know, respectable, and that's really something that I've always been a very strong proponent of, is if you say you're doing it, just do it. You mm-hmm. know, look, we all have moments where things fall through the cracks. And, you know, I know sometimes I get very overwhelmed and all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, my gosh, I forgot about this. And now it's too late, you know, or whatever. And it's a horrible feeling. You
sure.
know? I don't like that, because to me, if you commit, you do it. You know, and that was always the thing, like with our kids when they were growing up, I would be like, you don't have to sign up for any activities, but if you sign up, you go.
You go. Well, it's somebody once said to me, the work in that is you have to get back to who you were when you made the commitment. That's the work, going back to the person who said yes to that engagement and following through.
Hold on. This one you might have to repeat, because that's deep.
Yeah.
I love deep.
Well, because we all, you know, things happen. We yep. all have emotional spells. We all struggle in life, but we all owe each other the decency to follow through with at least our word. And getting back to that person, no matter what's going on, is important.
Yeah.
Otherwise, don't make the plan.
Right. And sometimes that's much better.
Yes.
For both parties.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go, don't say you want to go.
Right.
See, that's, but like you're trained, you know, the power, like, yes, 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 pleasers, people are innately kind
well,
of,
you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, this and the other, but you're going to do more damage
yes. oh, exactly.
by saying yes and then no showing than you would by just
yeah.
not saying
that's
yes.
why I'm so yeah. non-committal. So there's somewhere in the middle of that. I don't say yes. I don't say no.
Well, you do with me.
You let Meredith say yes or no.
He likes to drop exactly. it in my lap.
I hate commitments.
I like to have some plans, but not too over scheduled, because I just feel like there's so much to do and I just don't.
Right.
If I get too scheduled, I end up stressed out.
Well, you'll have a psychotic break and, you know, exhibit A.
Well, yeah.
Fire red hair now and like occasionally shaves his head. And
well, I'm loving the red hair. So, if that's the downside.
I will say, though, I love planning. I'm a huge planner. But someone else making the plans for me, I, you know, thank you, but. No.
So if you planned, or as we're filming the show, we're in the fourth quarter of 2023, the peak selling season for retail. Have you already? And we are literally in October. Have you started to buy Christmas gifts in October?
You know, me and my family aren't big gift givers.
Okay.
For holidays and for birthdays and things like that.
That's cool.
I mean. The other day, I gifted my mom this beautiful rainbow-colored lucite Jenga, like, statuette, and just because it reminded me of her. Or, you know, I bought her a beautiful chandelier from First Dibs that had the color of the rainbow. And I'm so fortunate to be able to do that. But that's why, like, birthdays and holidays for us, it's not...
You gift when you feel it.
Yeah.
Not when it's obligatory.
No, exactly.
I like that.
Yeah. I'd rather just spend time with my family anyway.
Gift when or you feel
it. Get each other something kitschy, you know?
Like yeah.
Matching onesies. So,
yeah, we need that photo posted.
Exactly.
The family and the onesies. That
would murder me. Well, you know, every year I build my mother's Christmas tree for her. Every year it's a different theme and it's... I do it myself, and
that's a big business. If you want to, like, some people, no. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Talk about stress it's all at once.
I just said I'm finally in a place where I don't need to work, and now I have a new business.
Just in the White Christmas House. Stuff. We want you to do the White House Christmas tree. August okay. Getty does the White House Christmas tree. It's a CNN special with Anderson Cooper and Brooks.
Gosh.
Oh, that's good stuff.
That's how we get the word out that I'm single. That's national TV. There we go.
August Getty designs the Christmas tree in the White House. And it's like a bachelor thing. And there's we try to fix.
Surprise. Wait, everybody jumps out of a present.
Getting the tree to the bachelor to all these buybacks. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Honey. But you're definitely on a different tangent here.
It's your future son-in-law.
I would not be unhappy about that, let me tell you.
I know, it would be fun, huh?
We would welcome you into the family.
That watch is amazing.
Thank you. This was gifted to me by my aunt when I was a child, and it only fits me now.
Is that done? What?
This is a Cartier watch.
Cartier.
But yeah, my mother saved it for me. Until... That deserving age.
We love it. We love that.
This is your chance, honey.
My chance for what?
To ask August anything you want.
And then we'll never speak again.
That's it. Over.
We're done. Okay.
All right. I have a question. What is your favorite piece that you've designed?
Oh.
Favorite piece that he's designed.
I will say my second collection, my sophomore effort, was a collection entitled The Other Woman, and it was all like leathers and very like dark. It was a darker theme, and it's really when I discovered that I was a conceptual designer and that I really wanted to evoke a feeling and a story and a mood, and I scented the runway with tobacco because I wanted women to smell like a grandfather, really.
Wow.
Like peppermint tobacco, it always reminded me of a grandfather. So that moment for me was really pivotal. Enigma was an incredible collection, which was my sophomore effort in couture in Paris. And that one was really cool.
Was that at your darkest moment? Is that why it was so good?
I'm trying to think.
Was it?
No, you know what? My work is very funny with me. Because whenever I'd have my dark moments, I would always create the opposite. So I would create like sanctuaries for those collections. Like my final collection sorry, second to last collection, The White Heart, was about a sanctuary and like a heavenly forest of health and rebirth and revitalization.
The place you finally got to.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Watch it all go down from here.
That is interesting, though, that was your second to last collection.
Yeah, right?
Like, maybe there was a level of self-awareness going on.
Fully. And I mean, even my final effort, The Onion Girl, can I redo that just because I misspoke?
Yeah, we can edit everything out.
My final collection, Onion Girl, which I had at my house here in Los Angeles, it was about finally going home and finally being at peace. And I said that in the blurb, the Getty girl finally gets to come home. You know, her trip around the sun is concluded. She gets to rest.
That was your last collection. Yeah. The symbolism on that is amazing.
Yeah.
I loved Onion Girl.
Well, I wasn't here. I missed it.
Wait. So
you did tell me you'd give me a private viewing for the record.
Come over. My entire archive.
That's the next question. So the archives of these amazing, because Meredith, describe for like my dad who listens to this podcast, like the significance.
Jeffrey,
like
are you listening?
The spectrum of fashion and designing, like the couture. You taught me in going to August's showroom where Chloe was working and seeing it in action. Like, it is literally like the finest of art that the body could wear.
Thank
right?
you.
Yeah, I mean,
is that how you would describe it?
Yes, I mean, you know, every detail was so meticulously cared for, and it's incredible. I mean, you know, your talent is. Beyond.
Thank you.
So I wonder, as the commercial animal in me, the collection exists. There's a lot of one of a kind mm-hmm. pieces. Have you thought of having Meredith do like a What's Not or a Poshmark live auction from your closet?
Well, I actually have a phone call this week to try and get my ready to wear back into a store. To just kind of dispose of the ready-to-wear. I can let go of it. But the couture items, those are, like, kept safe in a temperature-controlled, air-controlled archivist, like, archival zone.
And that indefinitely?
Yes.
Okay. So but the ready-to-wear, before you go to whoever we're going to partner with there, I'd love an opportunity to talk more about it off, like...
Okay, this can be post-podcast
comfort. Do you want the clothes?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The August Getty ready-to-wear?
Yeah, I have some.
That's like having Michael Jordan rookie year basketball cards that's worth a fortune because you don't make it anymore.
I mean, do you know what is funny, though? I bought it all back from every store that had back stock, from everywhere online that I could. Yeah,
control it.
I took it all off of eBay. I took it from everywhere, and I was like, no.
Just to have control.
Yeah. Just because if somebody's going to have a piece of my clothing with my name on it, it's not going to be...
You want to know where it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the ultimate brand control.
And plus, I like dressing my friends up anyway. I'll still do it occasionally.
We love that.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Come over.
Meredith, I'm ready. Meredith. Let's go.
Let's go have a caviar, Meredith Marks caviar party at in.
Please.
Yes.
I would love that.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. And yes. And yes. All right. Well, on that note, I think we've got to get going because we've got a caviar ready to wear party going.
I'll start planning. You coming, Brooks?
You gotta get Brooks to LA, right?
Exactly.
Well, Meredith, so August, anything you're promoting though, like other than just higher self life?
Please let me rest. Just let me take a nap. Let me work on myself a little bit more.
Mental health.
Yeah. Positive mental health every day.
Yeah.
You look fabulous.
Thank you. I feel fabulous.
Radiating really good energy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Amazing.
I'm happy. Amazing.
Yes.
That's what we love to see. Happy is
number one.
The best.
That's how you judge success.
Exactly.
One word. Sure. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, on that note, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Hanging by a Thread with Seth and Meredith Marks. And be sure to like and subscribe. See you next time.
And if you don't like it, you can leave.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.